Well, I'm going to read my inspiration. This is a poem that came to me this week, actually. And I feel like it really sets a tone for what Pamela Grace is planning to talk about. And, you know, we have to wait and see what she says. But, but you know, consciousness wins is her topic. So if you hold that in your mind, what does it mean, consciousness wins, as you listen to this? It works for me, so I hope it works for you. And another thing is, you know how we feel about one another here when we meet up with one another and we just know that there's a lot of love for one another? That's another part of this. And it's so beautiful for us to share that with one another. So the poem is called, I Found You. And I do, I feel like I found y'all. And of course this was years ago, but the more I see you, the more I find you. So and the woman's name is Kate Lohr. Okay. What a relief to find people who see the world as it is. Wounded, fractured, uncertain, and still believe it's worth loving, worth tending, worth healing. You are my people. The stubbornly hopeful, the tender truth tellers, the ones who have looked honestly at all that is broken and chosen still to help mend it. You do not waste time keeping score, picking apart small differences, or searching for reasons to doubt one another. You assume goodwill. You open the circle. You cheer each other on. As the world turns upside, you do not ask, how do I save myself? You ask, how do we care for one another? How do we make room for everyone? How do we keep going? Sure, you've known despair. You've tasted the bitter bite of cynicism. And some days, you've nearly let them claim you. But you've not surrendered. And there's something sacred about standing among you, feeling the weight of all we face and somehow feeling lighter. The danger we face is real. The work before us is immense. Yet together, we still remember what the world keeps asking us to forget. We are not separate. We are not alone. We are part of something much larger than ourselves. A great, fierce, tender wave of love. And we're rising. Now I would like you to join me and sing Surely the Presence.
Thank you all. Thank you all for being here. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I think everybody in here knows I'm Pamela Grace. I don't see a face I haven't seen before. So I was reading Eric Butterworth. Butterworth. You know Eric, right? And I was reading the book, The Universe is Calling. Excuse me. I get a weird throat. Anyway, that's where the talk came from. Throughout the book, he talked about how we're connected to the universe. And how to connect with the universe, and then what gets in the way of the universe. But I'm not going to go in detail into his book, because you can always read it. It's worth reading. Even if you've read it before, and I did 100 years ago, and it was like I hadn't read it. But as I was reading Eric, it reminded me of two things. the five unity principles, and the one that most related and caught my attention, all of them relate, but this one, number two, the second part, the Spirit of God lives within each person, therefore all people are inherently good. And then the next one, we create our life experiences through our way of thinking. And that's where Consciousness Wins, the title, comes from. How we're thinking determines our experience. We all know this. Every one of us in this room knows that, yes? So as I was thinking about that, and I'm always thinking about my thinking, I tend to be that way. I remember something I learned, it was in the 90s. Good, it wasn't the 80s, it was the 90s. I was in a lecture being done by Reverend Michael Beckwith. Yeah? Oh good, you know who he is. So for the few who might not know who he is a very amazing New Thought teacher. And he once ran the Ministerial School for Science of Mind, and I happened to be one of the last people who graduated out of that school while he and his people were still running it. And he's produced some marvelous ministers from his church in Los Angeles. So he has said any number of things. I've heard him speak I don't know how many times, but I thought I would share this one with you, and you may have already gotten word of it, been familiar with it, the four stages of consciousness. Oh good, I'm not getting a whole bunch of head shakes. So I get to share something new with you. But it's not that new. You will recognize it having shown up in many other spiritual, intellectual, even Carl Jung people. You will have heard this. But Reverend Michael said it came to him in the 80s, and he's been teaching it ever since. You can find it on the internet. Four stages of consciousness. The first one is to me, and it's the victim stage. And I took a personal growth workshop that was something like EST, or Landmark, or Mindspring, depending on which ones you may have been through, where the first thing they talk about is being a victim, get over it. Build a bridge, get over it. So his first stage of consciousness is, oh my God, look what they did to me. Why can't I win? Whenever we're feeling, oh, poor me. We're in that first stage. How could this happen? It'll never happen. I can't make it happen. Victim. And of course, when we're in the victim stage and we're not taking responsibility for our lives, we're victims. We are victims. And that's where we stay. And it's a sad place to be. And it's not why we were put here on this earth. We weren't put here to suffer. We weren't. And there are some religious theories that the suffering is something that's coming from the past life. And I'm trying to remember, who was I reading that was talking about that? Oh, well, I read too many books. Anyway, someone was saying, well, yeah, there's a certain thing to karma. There is. But the beauty of New Thought is we believe we can bust karma. That was the thing when I first got into the study of New Thought. I thought, oh, yeah, so the deck is stacked this way, but we can say, to the deck. How cool is that? The Christians have another way of handling it, but New Thought, we just say, okay, change your thinking, change your life. So We don't have to be victims. We don't have to be. I don't care if it is, in fact, happening to us. If the tree did blow over in the backyard, if the roof did blow off, we still don't have to be in the victim consciousness, regardless of what's happening. So the next step is by me. And I love this because as I was in the beginnings of studying New Thought, as people got to find out that when they said, I'm going to take charge, I'm going to make it happen, they don't get to do that with me, they got a little dangerous. But they were manifesting left and right. And although it's a lower step of consciousness, I'm not mad at people who say, by me, who say, I'm going to take charge. I'm going to make this happen. And when I decide to do that, it can be very rewarding. And then sometimes it doesn't work because we can't do it all by ourselves. And that's the blessing of moving to the next stage. So the next stage is through me. So we had to me, by me, through me, where we step in, and I think a lot of folks in the room are here with that, where we kind of, I was trying to remember who said it, move our bloated nothingness out of the way. I actually think it was Ernest Holmes who said that. But you get out of the way of the good coming through you and happening out into the world in a good way. We let it go. We move aside our egos. Our, no, it's got to be done this way. And we step aside and let something come through. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Good. Good. And sometimes it's difficult to make that step aside because we always blame it on ego, but it goes back to by me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. And this is the way it's supposed to happen. And the universe laughs and said, yeah, that's what you think. But this is the way it's going to happen. And then it's out of our control. So being willing to step aside, I'm laughing because I used to speak at a Unity church in Kent while I was in school, a ministerial school in Seattle. And I spoke a lot there, and I loved it because they didn't know me like I was known in the Science of Mind churches. They were just nice people, and I'd come and I'd get to talk to them, and it was no big deal. And it was, and I'd spoken to churches for years in other places and what have you, but there was a unique situation that happened at Kent. On my way, a message would come in that said, tell them this. And I would say, I already did my talk. I put it together. I have my examples. I'm not telling them that. I cannot tell you how many times that happened. And I remember arguing with the universe right up until the point where I was going to walk up from the chair to the lectern. I'm still saying, no, I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going to tell him. No, 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 no. I don't want to tell that story again. Or that's not in my outline. So finally, I took my by me self out of the way, and I brought extra post-its, because I used little post-its as my outline back then. I brought extra post-its, and when I got the message, when I was driving to the church, I would write it down and stick it in there. Frequently, people came and said, you know, when you said what I was resisting saying, that's exactly what I needed to hear to blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, okay, okay. Now, the weird thing is, I really don't know why it was always that church. It actually doesn't happen here. It doesn't happen to the other ones I've been talking to. But at that one, it happened all the time. So I had to get my bloated nothingness out of the way and give the people the message the universe said to do. Sometimes through me is a joy. I love it when I wake up in the morning and I have the solutions to the questions I was wrangling with the day before. Then they just come through. I'm like, yay, love morning times. So it's a good place to be. We feel guided. We let go and trust the process. So we're making an agreement with the universe to say, okay, let's see how it happens. I think you all know I had a wedding at my house where my favorite niece invited 200 people. And I reverted first back to, oh my God, how could she do that to me? She did not tell me she was going to have that many people when she asked if she could have the wedding there. So I hung out in victim for a while. Oh, by the way, did I tell you that as you move up, you can move back? I didn't tell you that, did I? You could think you're all through me and you can go right back down to by me, to me. So anyway, I'm thinking to me. So I moved out of to me to by me, where I said, okay, so I'm concerned about A, B, C. What can I do about A, B, C to prevent A, B, C from happening? Yeah, that's where I was going. I was like, I don't want this to happen. So I told her nobody could smoke because the grass was yellowish. And I said, I really don't want to be the one who burns down Whidbey Island. So none of these people could smoke. And she said, oh, well, some of them did, but they did out in the parking lot where there was gravel, so it was okay. But anyway, so I did all I could do to alleviate the concerns I had, and there was only so much I could do. She did a whole lot. So that was by me. So then I moved to through me, where I said, I'm getting my bloated nothingness out of the way. I'm just gonna know that it's okay, that it's handled. She has checked all the boxes. She knows what she's doing. She's a little event planner. And I'm going to trust that nobody smokes in the yellow part of the grass. I'm just gonna let it roll. And that's what I did. And there were little moments during the wedding that didn't, we ran out of water, we ran out of ice, we, anyway, there were these little moments. And my solution was to be available. What is it? What's gone wrong? Let's figure out what we can do about it. And that's, and so the wedding was beautiful. I only got as far as through me. I didn't get to the fourth step. But the wedding was beautiful. So the fourth step, I know you're all wondering. The fourth, Bill shakes his head. The fourth step is as me, as me. So I'm not even consciously stepping out of the way. I'm embodying the highest and the best. When I first heard that, and I had PowerPoints because I thought people are going to need to see this because my just telling you this may not stick. But the universe wanted me to just talk to you, evidently. But as me, I put that in the realm of an avatar in some spiritual theology. There are people who walk among us who are at the as me level. There's not a lot of them. And by the way, we won't necessarily know who they are. Or we might. But it's the level where there isn't a thought or an effort. It just is. They're so connected. I met one who totally seemed to embody the as-me of spirit. She was the last wife of Muhammad. Now I'm forgetting all his last name because this wasn't in my plan. But he was over the black Muslims. And this was in the 90s. So he had actually just passed. She was his widow. And she was connected to the new leader of the black Muslims. And when I met her, she was surrounded by guards, but we met eyes, and there was this whole experience of light and love and peace. And I wanted to get closer to her, but one of her guards stepped in my way. You cannot get close to Mother Muhammad. And I said, I just wanted to shake her hand. I did get to shake her hand, but she was, and then I heard her talk, and she was amazing. And I'm sure that she was one of those evolved people who was an avatar. And so we're not talking about a particular or singular religion or religious belief. As we know, all of the religious organizations have their own way and their own path, but we're all going to the same place. So Mother Muhammad was the closest I got to feeling an avatar, a person who was living more often in the as-me. By the way, you don't get to stay there, except for those few really, really special people. So we have these four stages, and what's important about them is awareness, being aware. So here's the rub, as Shakespeare would say. We have to be willing to not only recognize where and when we are, but also willing to step out of it. Now, I'm not that familiar with the as-me level. Maybe I've had a flash of as-me in some situation or another. I am very familiar with the through-me. I'm also familiar with they did it to me. I don't stay there very long. I moved quickly to, and I'm going to kick their butt. I know, it's not that bad. I don't really say that. But I do say I'm not going to remain a victim. What can I do about this? Sometimes what I can do about it is let it go. Just let it go. Build a bridge, get over it. It does mean we might need to have some feedback. I was telling one friend of mine that she steps on what other people are saying. So someone will be talking, well, I like to make pancakes, and when I make pancakes, and my friend will say, I like to make green beans. And so she's just stepped on the person hadn't gotten to what they liked about pancakes. Now, it sounds like a little thing, But imagine yourself talking to someone who, when you start to say what's important to you, and they say, well, yeah, but, and they're off and running. And imagine that they don't want any feedback. I have several in my family. They're just so bad that way. And they don't want any feedback. Do not tell me not to talk, Pamela. So we have to be open. It helps to be open to feedback. It helps to take a look at that and say, is that true for who I am? Sometimes folks will put their story on you. And it's actually not about you, and you didn't do it. I frequently say to myself, this is my favorite one I learned from a friend. Not my circus, not my monkey. Isn't that funny? You know, it's not funny. Well, I love it, because it's like when somebody's saying, blah, 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 I'm thinking, not my circus, not my monkey. I do not have to get into this. I don't. I give you permission to use it. So sometimes it's not ours. But we do have to be willing to take a look and see how much of that is me. Another workshop I was in that was digging deep into our consciousness levels said, everything you say about somebody else, guess what? Yeah, we've heard, you know, you're pointing here, but what's pointing back at you? We've heard that, but if you give it some thought, so I'm saying this and that and this and that and this and that, there's me in there somewhere. Again, awareness, being aware, paying attention, and then being willing to shift, being willing to move up. Speaking of awareness, and Karen reminded me of this, I told my sister 2 days ago, I have, somebody left a little buggy at the wedding and she wanted it back. And my sister said, we're going to exchange papers around the stuff we have to take care of with my father. And she said, you don't have to come all the way to the house because I was going to drive over to Renton. She said, I'll meet you at Mukilteo and I'll take the wagon because the owner lives in Edmond, and I'll deliver the paperwork that you need, but I'll meet you so you don't have to drive all that way. Usually I'm driving, you know, for 2.5 hours to Renton along with the ferry. And I said, well, that's so sweet of you, because it's a little bit of a drive down to Mukilteo from where she lives. I woke up the next morning, and I had one of those incomings. I told you how I love the ideas in the morning. And what I got in the morning was that my sister loves me. So I told her, I said, you know, when you offered to blah, 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 I woke up the next morning and I realized you love me. And she's like, yeah, of course. What, was there ever a question? There was a question. But I didn't go into it. But then I looked at all of the stuff she's done over the years, especially since I moved back here. And I've been back here 21 years or so. And she's done a number of things that you could interpret as love. And I interpret them as my sister doing stuff for me because she's my sister. I do stuff for her because she's my sister, but I also love her. But I didn't think my sister loved me. I thought she's just doing the right thing. So I wonder how many of us meaning this us, are sitting in the midst of love and we don't know that. We don't, haven't acknowledged it, or we haven't recognized it. We think somebody's doing something to be doing the right thing. I realized that with my father passing and so many friends, I told my friends, I said, this time I'm going to tell people, Dad stepped off the planet. And I got so many loving notes, and I got flowers, beautiful flowers from Unity. Thank you. I don't know who sparked that, but thank you. Beautiful, beautiful flowers, and I love flowers. And I thought, well, you know, love is a little loosey-goosey word. It's difficult to define, but, and people love at different levels and in different ways. I would tell my father I loved him, and the last time, not long ago, I told him I loved him, usually he would go, he was not one of those kind. But the last time I told him, he laughed out loud. And I think he laughed because he was saying to himself, she's always saying that, she's always saying that. And he laughed. It felt like a good laugh. He heard me. So I just wonder, you know, how many folks here are not aware of how loved you are? In more than just the spaces we expect it to come from. So, I don't remember what was on my closing because it was in my PowerPoint, but that's okay. It's not your fault, Billy. Not to worry, Bill. Seriously. I think awareness is where we want to be. We want to be more aware. I think also more open to seeing things differently, to being a little differently. I learned a lot from my father about allowing things to be the way they were, because my father was cantankerous and difficult and knew my sister and I were trying to take care of him and he didn't want to be taken care of. Well, when you're 102, what do you expect? You ought to be glad somebody wants to take care of you. So, love them anyway. Love them anyway, because somewhere in their little pea-picking hearts, they're feeling the love. So with that, love them anyway, and love you anyway. Love yourselves. Not that weird, egotistical love, but the kind, calm, forgiving, embracing yourselves, ourselves. Because as hard as we are out there on people, we're even harder in here. So start here. Give yourself a break. And some love. So on that note, we have a meditation. So I am going to ask Richard to tootle meditation music for me, for us. And I want in this meditation to have the experience of expansion. So I'd like you to get comfortable in your chair Lean back. Close your eyes if you're comfortable with that, or look softly in front of you. And see yourself relaxing in your happy place. Maybe it's a field full of flowers. Maybe it's a beach in Hawaii. Maybe it's a little dent in the ground that's covered with grass that you can sit perfectly in. Maybe it's a favorite tree. Maybe it's in front of the fireplace in your living room. Or the porch facing the woods. Relax, relax, relax into that space. And feel yourself opening up to all that is around you. Feel yourself feeling the wind gently blowing over your face. Or feel yourself expanding beyond your home if you're sitting in your home. Feel yourself moving into the sky. If it's daylight in your vision, into the sky, into the blue, into the clouds. If it's night in your happy space, into the sky, into the stars. Feel your soul expanding, leaving your physical body, moving out into the ethers. Feel yourself a part of all that there is. You're no longer bound by your physicalness. You are soaring, expanding, spreading like a dust storm out into the universe. And yet, you are one with all there is. You're no longer the single person sitting somewhere on the earth. You are free. You are in the light and the love and the glory. And it is good. And now you feel yourself coming back together. Settling back into that space that you launched from. Back on the porch, or in the trees, or in the meadow, or by the sea. Wherever it is, you envisioned your happy space. And now you're coming back into this room, relaxed, in joy, in freedom, in all the good that there is in your life. And there is much good. And so, as you are comfortable, you can open your eyes. And so it is.